Welcome to the Muscle Expert Podcast with Ben Pakulski, one of the world's top professional bodybuilders, an expert on human performance and mindset mastery. Ben dives deep to deliver the strategies of the top experts to upgrade your body, mind, muscle, strength, performance, biochemistry, and how to become the upgraded modern man. Join us on BenPakulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Muscle Expert Podcast, and we've got an amazing guest for you today with a very unique spin. So as I've been diving deep, as many of you know, into the study of neurophysiology and brain chemistry, I really find that I can deliver the best muscle building information on the planet, the best nutrition information on the planet, yet so many people fall short of what they believe is their ideal goal or their ideal destination. And, you know, it comes back to limiting beliefs and a whole number of other things. So my vision today is to get this amazing guest on here to talk about his incredible life. And to be honest, this guy is one of the few guys in the world, or particularly in the fitness industry, that inspire me with what they're doing. He's doing an awesome job. He's doing awesome things in every aspect of his life. Mr. Gethin, what's going on?
Thank you very much for that introduction, Ben. I'm honored that you would say such a thing because you've inspired me as well. You know, as I spent some time with you about a year and a half ago out there in Florida, learned a lot from you, followed your career for a long time. Not that I'm saying that you're old.
Hey, what are you saying, man? Come on.
It's an absolute pleasure to be on your show, buddy. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, man. So really what I want to do today and every day really is provide guys with value. And you know, a lot of my demographic is relatively successful men who are really trying to make the most of their body, make the most of their mind, make the most of their relationships, and they're looking for that edge. And you know, you're someone who's definitely found an edge, man. And I'm not going to speculate as to what it might be, but I kind of want to dive deep into it today to see if you can give any of our listeners or any of your followers an edge. Ultimately, that's what we're looking for. We're going to dive deep on that, but I want to start with a little bit about your background, man, because I know you've got a very interesting history, but I want to kind of go back as far as your childhood, man, because I think that influences a lot of people, and a lot of people use that as an excuse as to maybe why they can't do something. But I'd like to hear a little bit about your story. I know you grew up with a bit of a farming background. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I grew up in Wales, living on a farm. So I spent a lot of time by myself, which I absolutely loved. And, there was a lot of hard work that was involved there, a lot of adventure, a lot of self-exploration, I guess. And, I had a great upbringing, great parents, you know, that brought me up on hard work ethic, but, you know, gave me freedom, and not kind of live within the usual social realms of what's expected of people. And with that, I guess, you know, with a little bit of guidance, I found my own way eventually and found a way to pursue passions that gave me a purpose other than, you know, feeding someone else's purpose. So that really never invited me. It didn't, I needed some sort of energy and some sort of endorphin rush. And by doing something alone, and, kind of walking an edge where there is a little bit of fear, it definitely helped where I wanted to go. But, you know, when I think back to my childhood, it's definitely had an impact on how I've, you know, looked at the world in certain aspects and appreciated different things for what they are, you know. And I still think of myself as that farm boy growing up in Wales, to be honest with you. So everything else seems a little bit surreal past that.
Good for you, man. Don't we always, right? We always refer back to our childhood and things like that. So one question I have for you, did you play any sports growing up?
Yeah, I didn't do any team sports. I didn't like team sports. I didn't like people relying upon me, a little bit too much pressure. And I didn't want to get let down by anyone else.
Right.
So
I asked that question, actually, because I'm the same way, man. That's the reason I chose bodybuilding. I despise team sports. I wanted to do everyone's job. I was like, you know, you get out of my way, I'm going to do it. So I'll let you continue, yeah. Sir.
Exactly. And I guess I wasn't that sociable either. So it just definitely wasn't within my character to go out and find people to, you know, play sports with. So on the farm was the perfect surroundings for me for start riding motocross at a very young age. So I began racing motocross, and you know that's what where my evenings and my where my weekends were taken up. And then when I retired from motocross, I went and raced downhill mountain biking for a while. And it kind of led from there. So I guess that was a perfect transition into bodybuilding because, you know, I'd suffered a lot of injuries. And when I didn't gain sponsorship from motocross anymore, I went over to enduros, but that didn't give me the endorphin rush that I needed. And so, you know, I sunk into a little bit of misguidance, I guess, with a bit of depression, a bit of, you know, recreational partying. And it wasn't until I found bodybuilding where it kind of put me on a straight and narrow and gave me the discipline and a schedule and a structuring that I needed. And I'd always had an interest in it. I'd buy the magazines, but I didn't actually work out. I just had an interest in bodybuilding magazines like it was a comic book. And so then I decided to pursue that and went and got educated in college because I found with weight training I was able to alleviate a lot of the pains that I was experiencing from my motocross days.
So that's interesting. So, do you know, is there a particular reason why you think that people in motocross tend to migrate to bodybuilding? Because I actually know a ton of bodybuilders who used to do motocross.
I don't know if it's bodybuilding in particular, because I know a lot of top motocross guys who just go into so many other sports.
Okay.
They, more than anything, they need that endorphin rush. If you don't get that endorphin rush, you don't feel good. You get depressed. You get anxious. You could have a short temper if that's within your characteristics. So I noticed that a lot of people will go straight into something else. So David Bailey, when he got paralyzed from the neck down, he went and did Ironman, you know, and he competed in Kona. You have Ricky Johnson, he goes and races, buggies. You have Jeff Ward now, who rides an amazing amount of miles on his mountain bike every day, and he's currently racing across America. You know, a lot of these guys will find an outlet elsewhere because they need it. And when people say to me, you know, how do you stay motivated? I don't really have an answer for that, because for me, it's a necessity, it's therapy. You know, my non-training days is probably a day that I don't really want to socialize too much because I'm not that good to be around, you know, I don't feel as good.
Man, and that's such an amazing thing to dive into, right? Is a lot of people have never experienced that. You were lucky enough to experience that as a kid, and so was I. And then once you experience that rush of, you know, whatever it happens to come from, you're hooked. So that's, you know, a really unique story in itself as to probably why you pursued bodybuilding and then why now you're pursuing, you know, the Ironman training.
Sure. And, you know, you've got to look at it of the health benefits that's associated with it. You know, if you're eating like a bodybuilder on schedule, you're eating the right micronutrients and macronutrients, and you're staying hydrated. Like my girlfriend and I were talking last night, we can't think of any other sport where people walk around with a gallon jug. You know what I mean? Not one other sport.
Right.
So know that we're probably being a lot more hydrated than the average Joe when our bodies are made up of at least 70% fluid. You know, it's a very important role that fluid takes. So, you know, there's justification behind what we're doing then as well that makes it a little bit easier to stay on track, that we're feeding this carcass with, you know, proper nutrients, right, the proper food and fluids to have longevity within our life, because so many people seem to take life for granted these days, like they have an infinity amount of years to get stuff done, be healthy.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just doesn't work like that. You've got to take your preventative measures now.
Completely agree. At least bodybuilders are focused on something, right? Whether or not they're focused on the right thing or not is up to them. But at least they have goals and they're focused, you know, intently on something, which is awesome. So any people come to mind when I say mentors or role models for you, either growing up or as you kind of start to progress your way into your later years of life?
Definitely my father to begin with, because, you know, he would look at everything objectively, logically, from a calm sort of standpoint. And, you know, to this day, he's a very strong guidance to me. And he's the person that I listen to the most because he's never steered me in the wrong direction. So there's a lot of reliability behind that.
That's awesome.
And then further from that, and I think you know this, Ben, Henry Rollins.
Yep.
Was a very strong person within my life from the early 90s, based on, you know, the guy's unbelievable work ethic and no bullshit attitude, no excuses. You know, if he's sick, he's shown up to work, and there's no days off on his tours, and he's become very versatile. Obviously, he works out. He believes in, you know, the passion behind physical strength, and he believes that has fed so many other of his attributes, you know, whether he does acting, whether he's doing a documentary for the Discovery Channel or his radio show or publishing one of his books under his own publishing house or doing his records. You know, the guy is a workhorse. And, you know, obviously he's had some problems in his past, and, you know, the work and the scheduling and the discipline has really helped him get through a lot of areas in his life where probably a lot of people would turn to, you know, a psychologist or something.
You know, I really believe those problems are necessary. They're a necessary part of life to, you know, we are what we overcome. You know, ultimately, our struggles determine who we are, and I think that's an important thing. I want to ask you a little bit about your dad, man. So, you know, a lot of the guys who listen to the podcast are fathers, and they want to create strong relationships with their kids and with their sons so they can leave a legacy. Obviously, there's a unique shift in the world now, kind of away from, you know, masculine men. And I think a lot of the guys who watch, you know, are aware of that and want to make sure that they leave their great role models for their kids. Is there anything that you that sticks out in your mind from your relationship with your dad that, you know, kind of made him your Superman? You know, you got so many guys growing up in America now who idolize, you know, pro athletes or boxers or, you know, rap stars or superheroes. But, you know, you idolize your dad, and I want my kids to idolize me. And, you know, is there any things that you remember about your dad that really stand out in your mind that made him your idol?
Well, I'm sure they idolize you, because one of the things that stood out is that I just remember my father when I was younger as being extremely strong. And it was just something that just ran in the family, you know. It was my uncles were the same, and everybody would refer to that. Oh, that's your uncle? He's strong as an ox. So that was something that kind of stuck out at an early age. And, you know, at the time I didn't appreciate it, but, you know, he was tough on me. You know, sometimes it's very early mornings to work on the farm before you go to school, and, you know, wouldn't let you step out of line. And if you did step out of line, you'd know about it, and it would not happen again. Things like that at the time, you don't appreciate, not at all. But I'm very glad in hindsight that he was like that, because it's made me step in line, because without that, I'm sure I would be the kind of person that could have gone off the rails and gone in a completely different direction. So, yeah, it's very difficult for me to say how somebody should be with their kid. You know, I'm not a father myself. Sure. And I can only refer to this individual relationship that we had and have. You know, so, you know, everybody's going to have a different upbringing, and not one way is right or wrong. But you'd have to know your son, and you'd have to know your father to kind of respect those boundaries and, you know, and grow together with him.
Sure, man. I think respect, you know, like the key thing that pops out in my mind as to what you're saying is respect. It's similar to me and my grandfather who raised me. Was, man, I feared him, but I knew I was I was completely loved. I was eternally loved, right? It was unconditional love, but I would never step on his toes. And it sounds like a similar situation for you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, my family isn't one to actually share vocally, you know, how we feel about each other. Like, you know, I'm not going to tell my parents very often that I love them, and they're not going to tell me. But it's that we don't need to, because we know we care for each other, and we do absolutely anything for each other. You know, so it's like you said, it's more of an internal thing as opposed to external.
That's brilliant, man. So obviously communication is 93% nonverbal, right? So if you're showing them, that's all that matters. And most people are so concerned with what's coming out of their mouth rather than the actions that they're displaying with their body. So
yeah, exactly. Amazing. And we're surrounded by that all the time, aren't we, Ben? You know, people tell us of their ideas of what they're going to do and how this is going to change. But, you know, nothing is, you know, doesn't really speak to you unless it's followed with the action.
Yeah, there's no follow through. Exactly. Speaking of taking action, man, I want to dive deep on what you're doing right now, because I know you've done some amazing things in your life. You know, you've been the editor of bodymill.com. You've inspired millions of people around the world, man. But I think what you're doing now is really transcending the fitness world and taking it global for you, man. So why don't you tell a little bit about why you decided to start training for the Ironman that you are doing now?
Well, I guess there's only so many diets I can do, so many video series based on muscle building or fat loss or transformation. But more so, I've been studying the world of triathletes and endurance sports for about a year prior to actually taking action on this myself, you know, just looking deep into it. And kind of getting very surprised on how prehistoric some of the supplement and nutritional strategies are. Right. And, you know, like I was just reading a magazine with my girlfriend the other day, and, you know, it was basically saying, yeah, you don't need to take supplements. You can take some gummy bears or what else is there, sugar or something that can replace your gels, you know. And I thought, wow, this is crazy that people actually write this within these publications, because these endurance athletes are finely tuned machines. I have all the respect for these guys' work ethics. It's absolutely unbelievable. And when, you know, I thought, yeah, I will do this, and I've lost muscle before on purpose. I can do that again. And then as I got closer towards this, I thought, you know what? This is something that, you know, as a bodybuilder, you're going to suck at this. So let's do it. Let's do it as a bodybuilder and see what we can make of this. You know, and I really had to break down the training specifically, completely different to as a normal triathlete would. You know, some of these guys do 20, 25 hours per week just spent on cardio. I'm not going to do that. I have to become a little bit more creative in the way that I add weights vests or ankle weights to my wrists and just do hill sprints and some hard drills during the week. And then maybe, you know, longer duration sessions during the weekend, just to get comfortable being uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah.
So really changing things up and just challenging the prospect of trying to build muscle and improve my performance enough that I can finish a full length Ironman during the process. You know, a lot of people said, you're going to suck at it. You can't do it. So I'm like, let's go. So that's what I needed to hear to, you know, put a fuel under my fire and get my butt out there.
Man, isn't that just life, right? That's just life, how it goes. I mean, that's what started bodybuilding for me is I sucked. I mean, everybody's like, dude, you'll never do that. Don't even try. And I was probably the least likely to succeed at it. And I just threw two middle fingers in the air and said, I'll do it twice. You know,
that's it. Sometimes we don't have enough middle fingers, do we?
Right, exactly. Amazing, man. So how long until the Ironman for you?
So in June, we're doing a half Ironman. Both myself and my girlfriend are doing that. And then I'm going on to August to compete in the full Ironman. We're actually both heading down to LA this weekend to go and swim in a 1 mile race, because neither of us have swam open water. Neither of us have tried on wetsuits. You know, so I thought, well, that's probably going to freak me out a little bit to look at the bottom and there's no black line there. It's just murky water.
Right.
So I need to get over that right now. So, you know, we can't do it in Idaho at the moment. It's too cold. Everywhere's flooded. So we'll head on down to LA and get over that one.
Oh, man, that's fascinating to me. So swimming is my fear, right? I'm a 300-pound bodybuilder, man. I sink like a stone. So what are you doing to overcome your fear? I mean, what are you doing to hack your cardiovascular system, your breathing, your meditative state? Because obviously triathlons, Ironmans are extremely meditative. Like you need to be in a pretty zen state to be able to overcome the discomfort.
Yeah, that's true. Do you know what? It's been a lot of mental work over physical work, because, you know, I'd be in the pool first of all, and I'd do like one length and I was knackered. And then when I got over, you know, over that problem, I just found it extremely boring, because, you know, us being bodybuilders, we thrive off intensity, you know, walking in and then crawling out by our lips like an hour later.
Yeah.
This time you have to pace yourself, and it's like you have to hold back. How do I do that? Well, number one, don't have any choice to begin with, because I can't swim and I'm definitely not fit enough to run far. But then I've been improving upon that. But more so with the swim than anything, it's been made up of drills. So, you know, very short sprints. So, you know, maybe I'm going to sprint for 25 meters and then take it easy 25 meters. But there's a lot of different drills that I'm doing there. But 90% of my swimming is made up of just working on technique. That's all it is, because swimming by itself is exhausting enough for me. I don't have to try to race at that.
Yep.
So when I'm working on my technique specifically, because they say about 60% of your swimming success is technique,
yep,
and I wholeheartedly believe that. So I'm getting exhausted just working on my technique anyway. So once I feel that I've got that down and I can be a little bit more buoyant in the water and not, you know, swim like a boat with my ass and my legs down at the bottom or my upper body's at the top,
yep,
then I'm going to feel a little bit more comfortable with it. But it's coming on, and I'm very happy and confident with how I'm improving. The times are getting better. So I'm definitely going in the right direction. You know, obviously, on, you know, some of these disciplines, I'm getting a little bit sore, you know, the joints taking, yeah, a bit of beating. But, you know, I'm just making sure that I'm, you know, very slowly ramping up the volume if it happens to be an intense workout. If it's high volume, I go very, very low intense and use that as like an active recovery.
How many hours a week you spend in the pool?
Just about two and a half hours in a pool, I'd say. Yeah, so twice a week swimming.
And how long is the swim in the Ironman?
2.3 miles.
So your first test in open water is going to be a mile, and then you're going to try to ramp it up from there, or are you going to keep it at that and just assume that if I have the endurance to swim a mile that I can knock out the 2.3?
You've got it. You've, yeah, got it. Because, you know, I've been speaking to people, and they said, you know what, once you get past a mile, you know that you can do 2.3. You know, you just have to pace yourself. Obviously, you know, if you go too hard, you're going to run out of gas and you can't replenish yourself then. So just got to take it nice and easy. And that was the hard bit in the beginning. I was going a little bit too hard on every discipline, and I was running out of gas and running out of calories and running out of fuel, and I just couldn't recuperate. So I've got into the gist of taking it very slow in the very beginning now, and it's working.
So you mentioned some injuries, man. What are we talking? I mean, what's your body weight now, Chris, if you don't mind me asking?
218 at the moment.
So 218, yeah. And you're running how many miles a week?
Good question. I'd say probably about 20 miles, not far, you know. You know, but, you know, like during the weekend, I do like an 8 mile run in one go, like, yep, on a Saturday. But within that, I've got some drills. So I may, you know, go as hard as I possibly can for like 400 meters and then rest and then go again. And I'll always start with a 1 mile warm up and a 1 mile cool down. I'm trying not to do too much in the running, because I know if I'm going to get injured in any one of these disciplines, unless I'm eaten by a shark or hit by a truck, is going to be running. So I'm not going too far. Like, I will never practice doing a full marathon, for,
right,
instance. You know, sure. I'm going to keep it very slow and just hit these drills in there to increase my intensity, my fitness. So on race day, I can hopefully go at a half decent pace.
Fantastic, man. So, it's fun.
And just one thing, and when I'm doing these runs as well, I will choose quite a lot of trail running, because having bigger legs, after a while, we tend to shuffle instead of run.
Right.
So if I go off-road running, it gets me used to picking up my legs over roots and over rocks. And sometimes I'll have ankle weights on to make it even heavier. And occasionally I'll have a weights vest on as well. And I'll run for half of the run with a weights vest on and the ankle weights or wrist weights, and I'll take them off, and then for the last half, I actually feel like a normal human.
Right.
So, you know, those sort of things help as well. Sometimes I'll see a hill, and I'll go, you know what, I'm just going to hit this hill 8 times, and then carry on.
That's what I was going to ask you, if you're doing most of your work on the treadmill or on a track, or if it's mostly open road stuff.
Yeah, I mix it up. So this morning I was on a curved treadmill, and I find that's really good for 4 foot striking. It really allows me to activate my glutes and my hamstrings more, because we definitely use our quads generally a little bit too much, and,
yeah,
then allow momentum to flip our legs back instead of using our hamstrings and glutes, because it's tougher. So I'll do the treadmill because I want to take some pressure away from my knees, and the curve is about 30% harder than your general treadmill. So I find it's good to kind of swap it up with that every now and again. So I'll do treadmill. I'll do trail running and I'll do open road.
So what are you doing to optimize recovery? So give me an idea. I mean, I'm guessing you're doing quite a lot of things. I mean, with this amount of endurance work plus doing your weight training, I know you're still doing that. How many times a week are you still weight training?
4 times a week.
So in addition to, or give me an idea of your recovery regime, man. Do you have anything that's like cool and cutting edge? I saw you doing that. The thing that actually made me notice that you're doing the Ironman was I saw you doing the elevation training, which was super fascinating to me, and I'm totally into doing that stuff. And I wanted to see what else you're doing to optimize, you know, kind of your peak performance state and optimize your recovery.
Yeah, for sure. So mainly for recovery, I'd say, for external recovery, I'm taking ice baths. You know, I've been doing cryotherapy, but mainly ice baths for my legs.
How often?
Because probably about 5 times a week.
Wow. You have one in your house?
Oh, no, not the cryotherapy. No, just ice baths.
Yep.
So cryotherapy is if and when I need it, but ice baths about 5 times a week.
So what would you say the difference response you're seeing from an ice bath compared to a cryo?
Cryotherapy is definitely all over recovery. So if I'm feeling just tired and, you know, inflamed all over, I'll go into cryo. But it's mostly my legs that are just constantly sore. You know, so I absolutely annihilated my legs on Tuesday. And when I finished and I was like struggling to get in my Jeep, I just thought, God, what have you done? Because on Thursday, 2 days later, and you know, 2 days later is the worst.
Yep.
To ride 4.5 hours on my bike stationary for a charity.
I saw that. How was that?
And well, it was tough. Like even just cocking my leg over the bike was tough. And the day before, my girlfriend was filming me trying to get into the Jeep because I was struggling, you know. And then 2 days after that, I went on a 70-mile bike ride with sore legs. And then today, I just trained legs again. So it's really hard to get them to recover. I'm getting used to being sore now.
Right.
But my legs are definitely responding. I can see more shape and size within them. And mainly, as soon as I finish my weights workout, I'll make sure that I have my recage, my protein shake then.
Yep.
And then I will go into my cardio discipline. And when I'm doing my cardio discipline, I'm ensuring that I'm having my BCAAs, my glutamine, my HydroCharge, my citrulline. And then immediately following my cardio, I will eat my food. And, you know, I'm just making sure that I'm eating a decent amount of calories, you know, dependent on that particular day. But when I'm out on my long rides, like I was on Sunday, wow, I ate a lot of calories. I ate a lot. And, you know, this is something that it's still trial and error for me. You know, when I think that I've eaten enough, I haven't. And it's tricked me a couple of times now, and it tricked me on my run on Saturday. You know, I started bonking, they call it, you know, when you hit the wall and you just cannot recover, you feel drunk.
Yep.
And so I thought, okay, I need to eat more. And I thought I'd learned my lesson from riding a couple of weeks ago when I got lightheaded. And I made a mistake again this time, but I went out on my 70-mile run and I had 3.5 bananas, 2 scoops of my recaged. I had 4 Nutrition Solutions protein pancakes with fruit. I had some dried fruit with me. I had my protein powder with a cup of oats in there. And I had all of this while I was on a ride. I had 80 ounces of fluid with all the supplements that I mentioned before, BCAAs, glutamine, all within it. And then when I got to like mile 60, and I thought, wow, I feel really good. I feel strong, you know. I felt real good that I had been fueling myself, erring on the caution of too much. My body assimilated it perfectly. I didn't feel bloated. I didn't feel full. And it kept me really focused and awake. So I thought, well, this last 20 miles, I'm going to push it hard. I don't need any more fluid. Well, I don't need any more food. I had fluid. But then when I got to 8 miles out, I was completely flat. My legs were heavy. I was lightheaded. I was all over the road. So it just goes to show you just – I have to fuel up until the very last minute. You know, we use so many more calories than an average triathlete. A triathlete may use like 5,000 calories in an Ironman. But a friend of mine who's helping me with this program, Alex Viada, like he will down 1,200 calories in an Ironman because thermogenesis is a lot higher. You know, his body core temperature is higher.
Yep.
And he'll require that many more calories, especially when you're hitting hills. You know, you just churn through the calories. So, you know, it's something to keep in mind. It's very, very different to a usual triathlete's regime. I can tell that much. We pretty much need a buffet out on the road.
How closely are you monitoring your macronutrients when you're training for this stuff?
I am now. I'm still. It's still trial and error. But like, I will weigh myself before I go out on one of those rides, and I'll make a note of how many calories I'm taking in, how much fluid, and then I'll weigh myself when I come back. And if I'm within 3 pounds of my weight, I'm happy. If I'm more than that, you know, I've got to get in more calories and more fluid. And on a weekend, I was 5 pounds lighter, even though I'd eaten all this food and drunk this fluid. You know, sometimes when you're out on a bike and you have the breeze as well, you can think that you're not sweating as much.
Right.
But you are. You know, it's the same when I'm in the pool. You know, I'm drinking all the time on the side of the pool, even though I won't do that on race day. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize how much you actually sweat when you're swimming as well.
Sure, that's fascinating stuff, man. There's got to be someone out there who's tracking, or maybe can give you a better idea as to how many calories you're actually burning during these things. I mean, there's got to be some scientific data on, hey, I just ran 8 miles. And I weigh this much. Tell me approximately how much I would have burned. I don't know, but I'm speculating.
I will actually start looking at things like that, and you know, more apps and more. You know, I'm using a heart rate monitor, which I can give me a rough estimate. But at the moment, I don't want to rely upon any of that. I would just want to kind of go by feel, dependent if it's hot outside, if it's a hilly route I'm taking, or flatter, or if it's low intensity. So then I can kind of make my notes and make those adjustments accordingly, and then I can rely on data later to see how close we are.
Man, what's your mindset when you're on the bike, when you're on, you know, there's got to be times when it sucks. Like, there's got to be times when you go, why the F am I doing this? What's your purpose and what's your mindset?
Yeah, that happens pretty much all the time. Whenever I do a crazy, you know, high intense, high volume workout, I always think, well, what are you doing this for? You got yourself into this, you better get yourself out. It's definitely the purpose. You know, I don't take any of this for granted, Ben. You know, I consider myself extremely lucky that people would even want to listen to me or follow me, and that I can influence people. You know, we were doing this before social networks were available, and where we could interact with people. And there's not many sports that you can actually interact with people and get help. So if I've been given this platform, man, I want to do everything that I can to, you know, use myself as a test subject to come up with some sort of data that can give people some hope and possibility for them to do this themselves. So when it sucks, sometimes I will change my perception and think to like a documentary that I've just watched. One will be Mirror, which was a mountain that's in the Himalayas that's, you know, worse than Everest. And, you know, three of the best climbers in the world attempted it for a second time. And, you know, they went through some real adverse conditions within themselves and within the weather. And they were living off like a couple of slivers of salami and a couple of spoonfuls of granola a day. But they pursued day after day after day after day. So I just think when it sucks for me, I'm thinking, man, I ain't suffering at all. This is okay. I can do this. And I've been given the opportunity to do this. I have my limbs. I have my health. Why wouldn't I want to take advantage of, you know, this short life that we got here and do this? And if I can inspire somebody, because I'm surprised at how many people have come forward and said, hey, I used to do triathlons. I used to race marathons, but I really started to enjoy weightlifting, so I stopped doing those things. So now they can have the possibility of going back and bringing them both together, because I really want to bridge this gap and kind of gain a little bit of respect from the endurance crowd, because I don't think they do respect us.
Right.
And, you know, I want to give the bodybuilders the same and an opportunity and gain the respect from the endurance crowd, because, you know, these guys are some hardcore athletes mentally as well as physically. To get up and have full-time jobs and put in the amount of hours that they do day in and day out is unbelievable. You know, I follow some people on the Strava app that are local to here. And like on Easter Sunday, there's a guy who goes out, Sam Christensen, and yeah, just done 4,000 meters in a pool and a 70-mile bike ride. And now it's 10 a.m., going to spend Easter with the kids, you know. I'm like, wow, Wow. That blows my mind. But I like reading these things in the magazines and following them also on socials, because then it makes it a little bit more relatable to being normal for what I'm doing. Because in the beginning, when I found out how long an Ironman was, I thought, God, isn't that just reserved for an automobile? Okay, now I need to make this more normal. So that's why I'm surrounding myself and plugging myself within this social pipeline, so it can become part of my reality.
That's actually, like I said, why I started paying attention to you doing the Ironman, man, is I used to do endurance running, and you know, I was pretty competitive with it, and I was always, like yourself, you know, looking for that high. And when I retire from bodybuilding, my plan is to literally shift into competitive cycling or some type of endurance cycling or even sprint cycling. You know, it's going to require me probably having to lose somewhere in the range of 60 to 80 pounds or more. But man, just the idea of that thrill and pushing yourself and pushing the mental barriers is, you know, ultimately what's so exciting to me, man. So
And it's like you said before, it does become meditative in the end. In the beginning, it's like frustrating because it's tough. But, you know, I've read many books, and one of them is called The Heart of Running, on how to become very present within yourself. And, you know, think of like a sphere within your belly, and you can't tilt to one side. You can't bend forward, you know, like you do when you get exhausted. You have to keep it within, and you use your body as like a pendulum, and you're trying to make as little sound with your feet, much like the Kenyans when you're running, to ensure that you're 4 foot striking. And when I'm thinking of all these things, you know, so I don't have music when I run, you know, because I'm trying to be present, it makes the process a lot easier, especially if you've got like a Garmin watch and you can see your pace and if you're going faster and what your cadence is. It's great data to motivate you to keep going forward. And at the same time, this may sound weird, but I got this from Alex Viada, where he says, just think of these runs and a lot of these, you know, long cycle rides as aggressive recovery. So you're really trying to pull down your cortisol levels within this time so you can get within a meditative state when you are being active, which is perfect for me. Because I don't know if you remember when I was in Tampa, I would paint sometimes in the evening. I'd take those classes because I found that was very meditative to me. I cannot lie on a beach. I can't sit in a room in silence and try to focus on my breathing. There's so much going on in my brain. It's too wired to do that. So if I'm focusing on something like that, it allows me to relax and distract myself, because I always say if I think too much, it makes me think too much.
Amazing, man. So let's get into supplements, because I think this has to be a huge component of what you're doing. First, what are you doing to combat inflammation? Other than, you know, you say you're doing your cold baths and you're doing your cryos. Anything supplementally that you're paying attention to? One, are you doing blood work? Are you paying attention to inflammatory markers in blood work? And what are you doing to combat it?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I haven't had that much inflammation, really. Like, internally, I'm absolutely fine. It's just a little bit of inflammation throughout my heels. I've got a groin strain at the moment that I'm dealing with. But other than that, everything's A-okay. In the morning, I have this concoction that I take that I find is fantastic. Definitely keeps inflammation away from my stomach. And, you know, I still, you know, participate in my weekly colonic therapy sessions. But in the mornings, I'll have a greens drink, you know, because I don't eat that many vegetables, so I get plenty of antioxidants through there. My greens drink, and I'll have my glutamine, my branched chain amino acid. I'll have a tablespoon of turmeric, a tablespoon of ginger, a tablespoon of cinnamon. I have BCAAs, glutamine, HydroCharge. I'll have my omega oils. You know, I have the liquid oils and, you know, very high EPA and DHA I have in there. And then I have my apple cider vinegar, which really does help clean me out. And I also add kefir in there as well, because if I'm cleansing myself, I need to replenish that cleanse with good bacteria within my gut. And I'll ensure that I have my magnesium powder in there as well. And when I take that every single day, because I notice when I travel, I don't, because it's not practical. And I really feel a difference with inflammation in my body. When I take that every day, I find my inflammation is drastically reduced. So I find that really, really helps. Of course, I'm still continuing with the usual supplementation of taking my BCAAs and my fermented glutamine within, you know, my gallon jug of HydroCharge every day. So I'm sipping on that like an IV throughout the day. And other than that, just taking, you know, the usual protein immediately post-workout, my casein before bed, you know, with nuts. And that seems to keep me on track. It's all to do with the timing, I find, more than anything, you know, ensuring that you're getting the right supplements in after the right activity or before the right activity, depending if it's a long journey, if it's short and intense. You know, different supplements seem to be feeding a different purpose, you know, and I'm still working on it. I'm still, you know, there's a little bit of trial and error that's held within this. As much as I wanted to take my pre-workout, which I have done a couple of times, towards the end of this bike ride, I thought, well, let me see how I go just taking my usual, you know, my BCAAs, my citrulline, my glutamine, my HydroCharge. Let's see how that affects me. And, you know, I think I'm probably going to go back towards like a pre-workout for the last 20 miles so I can have some at least mental focus and a little bit of an energy rush before the end. You know, I won't take it at the beginning. I need to finish strong. I can start strong. There's no doubt about that. So there's still a lot of trial and error here. You know, I'm trialing a few things as well with higher dosages of some minerals as well.
Man, so that concoction you just listed off there, you're taking all that at once in one shake?
Yeah, I hold my nose and
that's
go
what I was going to say. That's a nose plugger, man. That sounds pretty...
Yeah, it's not meant to be easy, buddy.
And your gut's okay with that? You don't get any...
Well, you know, I tell everybody, you know, like I get a lot of people on apple cider vinegar as that base.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that will upset people's stomach for the first 5 to 7 days. You know, it's really is cleaning you out, especially if you're taking in a high-protein diet or high red meat diet. You know, some people just don't assimilate it as well as others.
Right.
And when we're trying to increase our protein synthesis and maybe taking BCAAs in order to do that, it doesn't matter if you're not absorbing it and you're kind of blocked up. So I just make sure that, you know, I'm trying to do everything that I can to absorb as many nutrients as possible. I don't eat as much as I used to. Maybe that's because of age, but I think it's because of the efficiency of the food that I'm actually starting to uptake now. I don't have as much waste. I have more that's being utilized.
Man, I take apple cider vinegar every day, and I definitely wouldn't put it in my shake, though. But
well,
kudos to you, man.
Protein in there, buddy. You know, but the thing is, if I'm putting turmeric and ginger and stuff like that, I'm like, God, what's apple cider vinegar doing?
Yeah, I guess so, right? Maybe it'll make it, it'll kill it a little bit. So, man, one of the reasons you and I connected to begin with, obviously I follow you on social media and we've known each other for a few years now through bodybuilding, but, you know, discussing your path with Cage Muscle, man, and I think it's such a fascinating company because of the reason that you started it and more importantly, the way you continue to pursue excellence, man. And I had such a high level of respect for you as someone who said, you know, I'm not going to take BS supplements. I'm actually going to start to create efficacious supplements that benefit people. And you're in Tampa for, I don't remember, 6 weeks or so studying, you know, having your body detoxed so that you can have the most efficacious studies, reliable studies possible on ingredients for your products.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, because like, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of test subjects that, you know, test supplements, you know, whether in blind studies, double blind studies, randomized, whatever. But they don't actually, a lot of the time, they don't tell you what supplements those people are currently on, they're not on, what their health is like, you know, what are their, you know, allergy markers. You just don't know. So that's why I kind of started with myself first before it does go over to test subjects. So I can kind of accurately test if something's working or it isn't working. And, you know, as I always say, if you don't, you know, I don't guess. And the reason why it started is because when I started moving from behind the camera as a writer, editor, photographer, et cetera, to in front of it, then obviously I have a duty to give out the correct information. And obviously I want to put the correct stuff within my body as well. So when I started actually putting my hand in my own pocket and getting some of these products tested, I was kind of shocked. I was definitely shocked that some of the smaller companies that I was having tested was coming out better in comparison to the bigger selling companies that I was having tested. So that's when I thought, you know, I was taking a lot of single fill ingredients anyway. Let me look into creating my own company. And thankfully, There was a couple of people that had the same idea, and one of them was Brian Rand, who I worked with at bodybuilding.com, who had formulated many supplement brands before, including the Platinum Series for BBCom and the Jim Stepani line. And this time, you know, he had no budgetary constraints if we were to go into a partnership together. So he could actually do whatever he wanted with a positive outcome. And we wanted to make it obviously as natural as possible and try to bridge the gap between the natural health supplementation and sports supplementation. And that's what we came together and did, because we both very much care what we put in our body. You know, I try to go organic. I try to bathe and drink, filtered water. I try to stay out of air conditioning units. And we train a certain way and we eat a certain way to improve our health. So supplements should definitely supplement that fact. And so that's, you know, what I've always tried to do is improve performance, but not for the sake or price of our health.
Now, you've mentioned the supplement HydroCharge a lot. I know you love that, and I've tried some of that. Why don't you tell the listeners about that?
Yeah, so I've got it right by me right now. I'm addicted to it. So HydroCharge is basically it's a flavoring system. I call it the flavor with benefits. So it's a natural flavor, natural coloring within it. And it has a spectra blend of antioxidants. So sometimes you can see green particles in it. Well, you know, that's the, you know, we have vegetable extracts in there and fruit extracts. So you will see some green particles in there. And it's got tender coconut water powder in there as well for electrolytes and minerals. And it also has 1 gram of taurine in there as well, just for a little bit of focal clarification. For when you're drinking it throughout the day. And obviously it's a flavoring system that you can add your BCAAs to, your glutamine, your citrulline, your creatine HCL. That's what I use it for as well, you know, because, you know, BCAAs don't taste too good. Right. If you add your BCAAs to this, you can't taste it whatsoever.
Amazing, man. One of the things I love about Cage Muscle is just like you bring up the no artificial flavors, no artificial colors, no, you know, dyes, et cetera, like that, things like that. Do you find there's any challenges? Because I know like mass media and mass market, everybody wants things to taste good and look right. And do you find any challenges with one, making it taste right, or two, having to overcome the customer's objections?
There's a couple of challenges. Number one, it's a little bit more costly, you know, go natural flavor, a natural color, that's for sure. And it takes time. So, you know, a lot of customers will say, God, when's the next flavor coming out? And it's 10 months later, because it takes a long time, number one, to flavor anything that isn't synthetic, that's created in a lab. And when you have effective doses of each one of those ingredients in a product, it can taste pretty bad. So then you're faced with a problem again of trying to flavor these products.
Right.
But it can be done. And luckily, you know, Brian Rand that we have here is very, very meticulous with his flavoring. So it'll come to me and I'm like, yeah, it's great. But he isn't happy with it. He's like, no. It's about 8 out of 10. So again, you know, 3 months later, we have another batch. But, you know, that's what I like about Brian. He is a perfectionist in that regards, you know. I'm a bodybuilder. I'll drink anything that's 80%. Sure.
Okay, man. So we're going to wrap it up with 3 final rapid fire style questions. So keep it super, super simple. What's next after you've done the Ironman?
Spartan race.
What is that?
Spartan. So it's like a Tough Mudder.
Okay.
You know, they have obstacle courses and it can go for like 10 miles of obstacles. So I'm thinking that may be it. I wanted to do it during this Ironman training, but I don't want to risk injury.
Amazing. Man, I'm probably going to hit you up when I'm done competing to, you know, assist me in my journey back to endurance
sports. I'd love to, man. I'd love to. That'd be great.
I'd love to pick your brain on how the hell I'm going to lose 100 pounds. Let's figure that one out.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. What book are you reading?
What book am I reading? I'm reading a book called Redemption at the moment, and it's based off an armed robber from the UK, and he ended up competing as a top Ironman triathlete.
Cool, man. That sounds great. Any inspirational books that you want to mention that were like kind of life changers for you?
There's a few, definitely. I'd say The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, The Law of Attraction by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and any book by Henry Rollins.
I haven't read anything by him, man. I'm going to pick something up.
Yeah, they're all very different. One could be political, one could be diary-based. You know, they're all very different.
So this is a question I was actually asked recently on a podcast, and I liked it because it's thought-provoking, so I'm going to steal it. If you could have dinner with three people that are alive, who are they?
Henry Rollins, Richard Branson, and dead or alive?
Yeah.
Joe Weider.
Great. And you have you met Henry Rollins yet?
Yes, I have, and I couldn't believe it. He actually recognized me because we've emailed each other quite a few times.
Yeah.
And when I met him in L.A., he said, "Hey, you're Chris." I was like, "Wow."
Oh, nice.
That was amazing. Yeah, pretty cool.
That's a great feeling, man.
Chris,
man, always a pleasure, dude. I really appreciate having you on, and I want to give a shout out to Cage Muscle Supplements because honestly, Chris sends me stuff graciously enough to be able to use, and it's fantastic. I use them myself. Really, really good stuff. Tastes great, and you know you're getting what the label says, and that's obviously unfortunately one of the biggest limitations in a lot of the supplements that are mass market now is you don't actually know what's in there. So huge shout out to that, man. I'm going to be following you, and I hope everybody else is too. We're going to list Chris's website and social media in the show notes. Check that out. Chris, anybody want to give a shout out to?
I want to give a shout out to you, brother. Thank you very much for, number one, you know, having me on the show. But everything that you do, you know, within bodybuilding, but externally from that, you have your seminars, you have your workshops, you've got some amazing trainers there, and you put a lot of thought behind what you're doing. And, you know, when I was working under you there, you know, as the trainee, I'd say, you know, helping me, you know, really work on the activation of my muscles as opposed to just moving it. It was a very hard, you know, it was a very big educational piece for myself that I've since passed on to a lot of other people. I don't claim it as my own. I don't do that. But, you know, I just want to thank you for what you've done for me and what you do for so many other people out there as well. And, you know, you influence a lot of people, Ben, you know, past your competitive career. And hats off for you.
Thanks, man. You know, the funny thing is, you know, talking about the last time we were here, the last time we were here, your focus for the next 12 months out of your mouth was you're going to try to get bigger and you're going to try to build your back. And that's taken a complete opposite turn now. It's been over 12 months, so I'm sure that went great. But great to see you working so hard, man. You're inspiring me, and we're going to go for a nice long bike ride one of these days.
Let's do it, buddy. Yeah, you may have to get a bigger saddle.
Yeah, and that's a question I have for you. It's like, where do I get a bike for a 300-pound meathead? Who knows, right?
Yeah, maybe I'll have to get like a double bike or something with a three-piece sweep. I don't know.
Four wheels and a double seat.
Yeah, you got it.
Chris, thanks very much, man. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, thank you. The pleasure's all mine, buddy. Thank you.
Join us on BenPokulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.